the HTB podcast. Subscribe now so you don't miss future episodes.
Hello, welcome to this AHDB Potatoes podcast. The 2020 harvest season is most likely to be long remembered, but for all the wrong reasons. The loss of CIPC, coronavirus, and lousy weather all add up to be a poor year. No wonder farmers and growers are such avid weather watchers when having to contend with such extreme weather patterns as those we are presently experiencing. I'm John Bates, and in this podcast, we hear about two reports published in October about the facts of the crop area by region and variety, and get an update on the lifting to date and the quality of the crop so far. The guests in the first part of today's podcast are from AHDB's Market Intelligence team: David Udall, who heads the market specialist, Alice Bailey, and Alex Cook. In the second part of the podcast, David Udall speaks to Graham Bannister, AHDB's Senior Knowledge Exchange Manager in the Northwest and Northeast, about how lifting is progressing.
My name's David Udall. I'm joined by two of our analysts today, Alice Bailey and Alex Cook. We're going to spend a bit of time talking about potato markets, what's been planted, total areas planted by region, what's been planted by variety, and a little bit of a chat around what's been lifted so far and what the crop is looking like. So Alice, I was going to come to you first. So what's the latest that we've been reporting on total area planted of potatoes in GB?
So a national estimate is at 117,500 hectares. So this actually does represent one of the lowest planted areas on record. I think it's the third lowest in total, and we've seen a 2.3% drop year on year. We've seen some variation between when you dive into it by sector or region. And some of our sort of big potato growing regions had some quite big changes. The East of England actually held its largest potato growing area, so that's still number one in terms of the region, and that's actually stayed fairly similar to previous years. However, places that were quite badly affected by previous couple of years of weather events have seen some greater impact. So the Northwest is a key example to pull out there, I guess, and we've seen quite a dramatic drop off in the Northwest potato area since 2017. And we know that in 2018 they had another tough year, badly affected by drought. And then more recently, we had obviously the really wet weather experienced in 2019. And if you just look at last year's lifting report, then it shows how they were struggling. So at the final report, which was as at 12th of November, they were still had 33% of their crop in the ground. So I think that could be sort of a combination of a couple of tough years up there has driven that drop off.
I suppose that's not really surprising as well, thinking on a national scale, that we saw a drop off in that area, considering the uncertainty that we had at the time of planting from the first coronavirus restrictions that were put in place. So is that filtered through to the impact of what's been planted for each sector?
Yeah, I think it has actually, because when we look at it by sector, I mean, the packing sector and processing is still remaining at the top there. However, we've seen some quite big drop-offs in both processing and actually in also fresh bags, which so that is sort of the area that's moving or being planted ready for chipping, fresh chipping, which generally ends up in fish and chip shops. As we know, both of these sectors were actually really badly struck by the coronavirus pandemic early doors. So we saw fish and chip shops close on a national level for at least a couple of weeks, where they needed to work out how their businesses could continue to function under the new rules and regulations surrounding social distancing and people not actually being allowed out and about. And we've seen, like I said, a big drop off in that sector. It's 22.8% of a drop. So that's nearly 5,000 hectares of planted area has been lost from the bag sector. The other big one is processing, like I said, so it's the second biggest sector out there. It has been quite a big drop off for processing, and we've actually seen a drop in both contracted and free buy area for the processing sector. So I think these were both driven by coronavirus pandemic to some extent, although for some it was too late. They were already committed to their rental agreements, seed, etc. The food service sector was undoubtedly hit hard at the start of the pandemic, so people might have been able to change their minds still. And sort of in the opposite to this, we obviously saw at the time of planting a massive spike in packing demand from especially retail, but also from farm shop sales, with the so-called panic buying that was going on. And we have actually seen an increase in the pre-pack area year on year of just over 1.5%. So with that, though, we have actually seen a bit of a drop in the free-buy area for pre-pack, but more contracted area for pre-pack this year.
Okay, so coming to you, Alex, if we've seen those kind of changes in sector plantings, as well as on a national scale, has that filtered through to a change in the varieties that people have been planting? Because you'd kind of assume that would probably lead to some pretty big changes if we've seen that sectoral shift year on year.
Yeah, definitely. In our top 10 of the varieties, most growing varieties this year, only the top two have actually kept the same positions as last year, with Maris Piper as the first. And within Maris Piper, there was quite a substantial drop year on year at 12.9%. So it still kind of holds that top spot, but it has dropped quite a bit. And that was largely due to a decline in kind of the English processing area, which Alice has talked about earlier. Maris Piper seems to be the most hit from that decline. There are other varieties have also declined. So we've seen Maris Pier, the salad variety, drop almost 6.3%. So that's dropped down quite a bit. But there has been improvements in the varieties despite overall kind of sector declines year on year.
So it's interesting from a Maris Piper point of view, isn't it? Because you would have thought that'd be something that would hold up quite well. I'm assuming there's, you know, less favour from the growers to move to that variety. What do we think this means kind of going forwards then for the rest of this season? What do we expect that to sort of play out in the market? Are we seeing any sort of change in pricing shifts or prices between markets given what's been planted and how the market's trading at the moment?
Yeah, so we've certainly seen in packing markets and also in chipping markets as well, we've seen a premium for Maris Piper this year. We initially thought that potentially this was due to the name Maris Piper being quite popular with consumers. However, now that we can kind of see that the area planted is quite heavily down year on year, it could also be because of the availability and supply is perhaps not what it has been in previous years.
Moving on to supply, we released our latest lifting reports. We do three of these every season when the main crop is being lifted to give an update on what's coming out of the ground and what quality and yields are looking like. So this was as at the 20th of October, so a couple of weeks ago now. But what are the main sort of headlines from that as to sort of where the market was at that stage?
So we know this year that lifting has been progressing fairly well. It's sort of on a more, I can't really say normal in the world of potatoes, because there is never one year the same as another in the world of potatoes. But I would say definitely compared to last year, obviously we've had it slightly easier, a bit more sort of steady across the last month or so. There has been plenty of potatoes coming on the market, and one of the issues that we have seen, though, is although we're not hearing of exceptional yields really on a general basis, the demand is still sort of subdued in some of the markets at the moment. So with the processing supplies and also with chipping, although the markets are still there, they are much lower volume of movement throughout them. So with that lifting, although it's been steadily coming out of the ground, it's going to weigh on the market slightly. Now people are lifting into store. So the last few weeks, we've been hearing of more and more people lifting straight into storage in the hopes that they can sort of trickle the supply onto the market a bit more evenly to stop almost flooding the market with material.
So what does that mean, Alex? You know, if we talk about that from a yield and then production point of view, if we're talking about an area that's a few thousand hectares down from where we were last year, we had 5.1 million tonne production, but obviously that was really hit by the wet weather. Even though we've got lower area this year, if yields are average, is that kind of aiming for a larger production than where we would have been this time last year?
Yeah, so for sure in that regard. Yields, with an average yield of about 48 tonnes per hectare, we're looking at a production figure of around 5.6 million tonnes. And of course, that is just a simple calculation of yield versus the area. We hadn't accounted for any losses within that. So once we start to hear about a more broad figure in terms of losses, we can then start to take that off of that 5.6 million ton figure.
Yeah, and I suppose it's interesting when you say about losses there, because whilst areas in the south and parts of east of England have been relatively favoured by the weather over the last month or so, there's definitely the north of England across Yorkshire that have been seeing far more rainfall, and probably, you know, question marks over the quality and both the viability of crops that are coming out of the ground now. So yeah, that figure could move lower, especially if we see more rainfall over the next couple of weeks. And I looked at the forecast earlier and it was still looking a bit dodgy from my point of view. So I think it could be a bit more of a protracted end to the lifting season than what we've seen so far.
It's quite important. You've sort of alluded to it there, David. Although this report is only up to the 20th of October, so it is a couple of weeks ago now, 77% of the area is anticipated to have been lifted. So we've still got a decent amount of the crop that was still in the ground at that point. And we've seen some big variations across regional data. So actually for the northeast and northwest, they're only estimated to have been 40% and 59% complete at that time, respectively. So it is a case of some regions are ahead of others. And like you said, there has been some regions have been able to crack on since the 20th of October, and others are still waiting for waterlogged fields to drain. And so there is still that question of, will we actually lift the entire crop? And if/when it is lifted, how is the longevity of storing those potatoes?
Yeah, I suppose earlier in lifting, there were reports of more bruising. And I guess even though quality so far, again, has been okay, there are still some issues out there. Nothing as widespread as what we saw last year or the year before, I would say. Like, yeah, that's almost a quarter of the crop that was still in the ground at that point, isn't it? So it's still a big chunk that's got a risk around it. So if that's kind of the supply situation, what do we think around sort of any other issues that are upcoming? I suppose the main thing from a demand perspective is coronavirus and any future restrictions that are placed on regions in the country. But is there anything else that we should be looking at from a markets perspective the coming months?
I think there's a couple of things that we can't really avoid. First one is Brexit. We still have that hanging over us. As it stands, we don't know quite how the deal is going to go, if there's going to be a deal. Might be sounding a bit optimistic then. And what this means for us, we've got to prepare for that as an industry as well. And also that storing potatoes side of things, with more people saying that they're putting into store to try and slow the supply onto the market at the moment, is how long are we going to be able to store those potatoes? And we can't avoid the fact we've obviously had a loss of a key chemical and CIPC this year. They're both things that are definitely topics to think about over the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, I guess it's a continual risk. And also from our point of view at AHDB, you know, we've still got plenty more data and information that's due to be coming out over the coming weeks and months. We have our first production estimate that will be coming out towards the end of November. And then we have our end of November stocks estimate that will be coming out in January as well. So there's market information coming our way. Alex, Alice, thank you both for spending the time having a chat today. Always good to get an update on potato markets, and keep an eye out for all of the information in Potato Weekly. And thank you guys for joining us today.
The second potato lifting report was published on the 23rd of October, showing 77% of the potato crop had been lifted up to the 20th of October. The northeast and northwest progress has been largely delayed by the recent rain. These regions are estimated to have lifted just 40 and 59% respectively of this year's crop.
So I'm joined now by Graham Bannister from our Knowledge Exchange team. Graham, just want to just quickly say hello and say what you do first before we talk about weather and lifting.
Yeah, certainly, David. As you say, I'm the KE manager covering the northwest and the northeast of England. Been doing that for the last couple of years through thick and thin and deluge and dry.
Deluge is a good word, because we're going to talk about lifting progress for those two regions. And according to our latest lifting report, for the northwest, we had around 59% of the area lifted by the 20th of October. Obviously, we had a lot of rainfall earlier in this month and at the end of September. For the northeast, it's not as good a situation, really. We've only had about 40% of the area lifted by the 20th of October. And speaking to guys up there, the weather conditions have stayed pretty poor. From your point of view, what's your view on the impact that's had on lifting at the moment?
Probably the figures are somewhere about right. It's always very difficult to pinpoint exactly how far people are on because it's been so localised. I mean, if you take the Northwest, the weather they had in August was just absolutely horrendous, and it was compounded through a wet September, a wet October, and it just gets harder and harder. Each time it rains, you might have a window where you can nibble away at a bit that isn't underwater. So it's very hard to say whether that is correct or not. What I'm hearing is that people have the end in sight, but it's always those last, you know, when you get below 50 acre, you start thinking you're on the home straight, but it's that last 50 acre that seems to take forever as the days get shorter and shorter. So the weather has had a massive impact, particularly in the Northwest, equally over in the Northeast, but I don't think we've had the same deluges over here that they had over that side. It's just been a constant annoyance.
Yeah. Do you think that people will be, you know, for some guys in the Northwest and probably the Northeast and maybe even Yorkshire as well, depending on the kind of the weather that they've had, do you think people will be struggling to get any crop out of the ground now if the forecast stays wet for the next 2 or 3 weeks? Or are people pretty willing to kind of be patient with it?
There is the potential for small patches to be left, low-lying areas, which they've had to work around currently. I haven't heard reports of large areas. But that isn't to say, if you think about some of the areas in Lancashire that were really, really badly hit, there could well be crop that isn't going to be able to get out there. But we always manage to say farmers are very resilient. They usually manage to put a way to get things out. Let's hope this year they can. Yorkshire, I think, has been predominantly reasonably good. They seem to have got out the worst land. Again, there will be low-lying areas where it's left that might not be ideal. But in general, I think learning from previous years and planning ahead where your varieties go in what type of land and when you're going to lift them to what contract has definitely made a difference. And people are planning more for these extreme weather that we're getting.
Yeah. So you mentioned Yorkshire there, just in terms of like the percentage complete, we were estimating at the 20th of October that Yorkshire and the Humber as a region had just over 80% of their crop was lifted. But it's still a reasonably big proportion of crop left in the ground. Across the whole of the GB, we're still talking of at the 20th of October, a quarter of the crop was left in the ground. And, you know, I know a lot of would have been lifted since then, but it's still a reasonable tonnage. And I know that people have been not necessarily optimistic about yields. We've been talking sort of average yields, but with a good chunk of the crop left in the ground, like you say, that there could be certain regions and certain sectors that may struggle to reach those early production expectations that we probably thought we were going to be getting 6-7 weeks ago when the lifting progress was going really well.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you compound that, even if you get it out of the ground, you're going to be reliant on getting movement straight away, which in the current climate is not going to be easy. You're looking at issues going into store, if it's going into store. It could just really put another cat among the pigeons, but one we're becoming quite familiar with.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on the storage point, because we've seen that with a lot of contact we've had with people over the last couple of weeks, that a larger proportion of the crop being lifted is going direct into store. And like you say, if it's going to come off in wetter conditions, you know, we had a lot of problems with that last season, didn't we? And we managed to mitigate them, but it's going to be a very different storage season this year.
Potentially as well for people who were not due to store long term, so they haven't got really good storage. It's going to be very difficult because things are being pushed back. As we go into towards potential second lockdown all over the place, food service is going to get hit again. Movement is going to be difficult again. And if we're putting really wet stuff into store, it's going to take a real effort on growers' behalf to actually keep an eye on that and make sure it is still safe. And would urge people to be in touch with Sutton Bridge, use the advice line if they've got any queries, if they're not used to having to store for that long.
Yeah, I was about to say that there's loads of good content on the website that we've got, and loads of good content. And I think probably the best way is speaking to guys like yourself, our regional KE guys, to find out where all that material is and who needs to be contacted to get the information. Graham, that's been great. Thank you for speaking to me. It's been really useful to hear your views on what's impacting the north of England.
No problem at all, David. Good to speak to you as always. And let's hope for this nice dry spell that people are hoping will come.
Now we hear from Andy Shaw, a grower in Cheshire, who talks about the frustrations of coronavirus and prices.
We've got a huge, huge problem with COVID. You know, this COVID-19 has really disrupted the whole industry, because you've got some sectors that probably want more potatoes and some sectors that don't want any potatoes. So I don't think anyone knows where we're going next year. What shocked me is, and it can only be COVID related, that it's one of the lowest planting years for a decade. And yet we're seeing the cheapest price of potatoes in probably, well, more than a decade. And the two things shouldn't match. If it's a low growing year, and people could argue and say, oh, well, yields are fantastic. They're not really. They're not really. No, I grow quite a broad spectrum of varieties. So I start right from the early market and go all the way through to storage stuff. And I've not seen any spectacular yields across anything. You get the odd field. Don't get me wrong. You know, I've had a field of Taurus do very well. But then equally, I had a field of Rosetta that was dug earlier on because the market required it, that wasn't up to contract tonnage. So, so they then just merge in and then form that plateau. So people can say, oh, well, yeah, you know, we're having fantastic yields. I don't buy the fantastic yields. And certainly now, if you can't get them out of the ground, it's just not good. So, and I said to you the other night, David, when COVID broke back in the spring, we had 70 ton in the shed that were crisping variety that had got slight dark fry in them. The industry didn't want them. Didn't know what I was going to do with them. So I started bagging them for the general housewife just before lockdown. I put an advert out on Facebook, and literally within 20 minutes, I had a guy turn up for four bags, and it went from there. We sold 70 ton in no time. And I sold them at £5 a bag. And I was quite happy at that. That's £200 a ton. And I thought, yeah, you know, I can't argue with that at all. I just want to make sure that I've got enough money so I'm not losing money. You know, I can take a little bit of profit out of it and not losing money. I don't want to make, well, I would love to make millions, but I'm not in it to get rich quick job. We just want to be sustainable. So we want to be able to cover our costs, a little bit of profit to live on and to reinvest. And as we do that, we might be able to then make our job better for the end user. But if we are going to be in a marketplace where all the time it just wants to be, the price wants to be suppressed, then it's going to lead to a lot of people leaving the industry.
David Udall asks senior analyst Alice Bailey to give an update on prices and looks to the months ahead.
So, Alice, from your point of view, what Andy's saying there is obviously low prices are going to be the issue for the market for the short term. We've seen that impact of coronavirus, and it's a bit of a weird situation because for a lot of agricultural markets, normally you have supply issues create the volatility. It's very, very rare that demand destruction to the extent that we've seen is you know, creates this level of price volatility. But what are your thoughts, Alice, for the rest of the season, really, and where you think the market could go from here? You know, do you think anything is going to improve from what Andy was saying there?
I would love to say yes, but unfortunately I think I'd have to agree with some of what Andy said there in terms of COVID isn't getting any better at the moment, and it's definitely COVID that's had a big effect on potato markets, like Andy alluded to at the very start when the panic buying was happening, both in retail side of things and just in 25 kilo bag sales for just general use in the home rather than for chip shops as such, skyrocketed. But then that all plateaued back off, and then since then it has just really slowed down. More and more uncertainty is on the horizon, and unfortunately that is currently affecting the demand that's out there. One thing, like Andy said, that we've seen a reduction in planted area, yields aren't exceptional, and therefore obviously we're not on for a stonking crop of any sort. Yes, we're still going to have this demand destruction, and we're not really sure as to how soon we'll start to see some sort of return to normality if we get a vaccine or anything like that. But we also have to remember that we've got the other side of things with storing potatoes, that there's a little bit of uncertainty there. And so later on in the season, potentially we could see a little bit of support if we have got smaller crops and people, there's some people that sold earlier where they could because they just weren't sure they wanted to store. And then later on in the season, you potentially could see that side of the market sort of supported slightly. But unfortunately, that is if you've got the ability to store longer term, and with the loss of CIPC, whether you have other options available to you to be able to store long term as well.
For more information about market intelligence reports, storage resources, and details about future events, all of this can be found on the AHDB website, ahdb.org.uk. If you have any comments about this episode, AHDB want to hear from you. Please visit the website and fill out the feedback form via the link in the show notes. Thank you. My thanks go to my guests and podcast producer, Maria Kovlia. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.